Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's like, yeah. You're seeing the Power Rangers movie, though, right?
No, I will at some point.
I'm really worried it will just be bad. I obviously expect it to be bad, but I'm worried it's going to be bad.
I've heard it's... I think it's... Actually, you know, the only person I know who's been to see it has terrible taste. And he said it's great, so...
It's something, because you can see how you could do quite a good John Hughes-style Power Rangers movie, which some of the adverts have suggested they'll do, but my hope is more than they will try and spectacularly fail.
Can we maybe talk about Liverpool instead?
This is a Manhattan-bound B Express train. The next stop is Grand Street.
Mind the gap.
Welcome to Skylines, the City Metro podcast. I'm John. We don't have Stephanie this week, but we do have two other very exciting people with us. From the New Statesman Politics desk, we have Mr. Stephen Bush.
Hello.
And Mr. Patrick McGuire.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about one of the less discussed city regions that's going to get a mayor in the next few weeks, is the Liverpool city region from which Patrick himself hails, where Stephen has just returned from. So let's talk Merseyside. Firstly, why are we not just calling it Merseyside? Can someone explain this to me?
What? Well, I mean, would you like to go? As the deracinated Merseysider, I'll... So basically, it is all of the non-metropolitan county of Merseyside, which is five boroughs: Sefton in the north, Liverpool, St Helens, Wirral, and Knowsley.
Ah, you got them all. I thought you missed
and
one.
Halton.
And Halton. Yeah.
Which is Runcorn, where, of course, surprisingly long-running sitcom Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps was set, I believe. I think that's the most important cultural artefact ever to come out of Runcorn.
A great life hack. If you ever want to travel anywhere on Merseyside from London, get the train to Runcorn and then get in the car. It's much quicker than going to Liverpool. Unless you're going to Liverpool, in which case, go to Liverpool.
Okay. So why is it not just Merseyside? Is it purely because Halton's in the mix as well?
I think so. And also, I think it just sounds a little bit sexier if you call it the Liverpool City Region.
Isn't it also a... Because the thing with a lot of these, what they're called, is they're also partly about the weird internal politics of the whatever the combined authorities are.
Yeah. So, I mean, which is a very good point, because I remember when Joe Anderson, the current elected mayor of Liverpool, when they set up...
Just Liverpool City rather than the City Region.
Yeah. When he... Yeah, the current elected mayor of Liverpool City, that, you know, as well, the Liverpool City Council, when they set up the combined authority, obviously they had a sort of roundtable thing, who's going to be the chairman? And Joe Anderson wasn't made the chairman and kicked up a fuss and demanded he was made chairman by virtue of having the biggest clout and the biggest coffers, by virtue of being the mayor of Liverpool. I think they made the leader of St Helens Council the chairman in the first instance. So, as Stephen says, this is all about sort of the Liverpool show, as it were.
Yeah, but I mean, firstly, like, one of the stories I love about this stuff is that there was a point where it was going to be called the, let's see if I can get this right, the Halton, Knowsley, Liverpool, St Helens, Sefton and Wirral Combined Authority, until Liverpool threatened to walk out, thus rendering the whole thing ridiculous to sort of prove the point that without Liverpool, the rest are nothing. Mm. But I still don't understand why it's not just Merseyside. Why are they not calling it Merseyside? They had a perfectly good name. And it's going to get very confusing when there's a mayor of Liverpool and a mayor of the Liverpool City region. and they're both constantly fighting for attention and influence, which we'll come on to in a bit, but it just seems like the name is not going to help here.
It will. I think it will de facto, people refer to it as the Merseyside mayor. Yeah, when Labour people brief you about it, they describe it as the Merseyside mayor to differentiate it from the Liverpool mayor. I think people will call it that anyway. Although Merseyside is also weirdly an invented local authority name, isn't it?
Yeah. The 70s. Yeah, no, there's a real... Yeah, when they invent the 74 Metropolitan Authorities, not 74 the number, 1974, it's surprising how many of them get named after rivers. So there's Merseyside, there's Avon...
Humberside,
Tyne and Wear. Cleveland is not a river, Cleveland is an area. But my suspicion is it's kind of... Because you're often taking bits from different counties, a way of kind of making sure you weren't upsetting Lancashire or Cheshire or whatever it was to just kind of name it after the geographical feature that separates the two. So yeah, all these names are made up at some point. One of the things I think is going to be interesting, for a certain value of interesting, about the Merseyside contest is it's not really a contest. I mean, we know who the guy's going to be, right? Like, they might as well... I mean, they're going to hold the election because it would be a bit weird if they didn't. But, you know, Steve Rotherham's got this, right?
He'll win it at a canter. I mean, it'd be very, very surprising if he didn't. I mean, not impossible. But that makes the dynamics of the race quite interesting. So I think the differential turnout between, say, Liverpool and places like Southport, where I'm from, which is the only part... one of two constituencies in that city region to have an MP who isn't a Labour MP. So Southport... is the blessed John Pugh, and Weaver Vale in Halton is Graham Evans of the Tories. Hopelessly,
and obviously Wirral West had Esther McVeigh until 2015, which is actually longer ago than I keep being really unnerved by how long ago the 2015 general election was.
You've never quite got to grips with the idea of time, have you?
No,
it does throw you.
But partly also because I tend to measure time by, God, this is a cool sentence, by elections. And we've only had two, right? Two elections since then. And it's also weirded me out because there were so many electoral contests in 2016, but the year didn't move on. Anyway.
sorry, are you? This is really getting off topic, but are you saying that you were confused that for the whole of 2016, the year was 2016?
Well, yeah, you know, you have an election and everyone's like, oh, maybe we'll do better next season. We don't do better next season. Yeah,
special correspondent Stephen Bush there, ladies and gentlemen.
Like Sadiq winning, sorry to keep going down this windy garden path, but between Sadiq winning, right, and Brexit, that seemed like ages.
It was six or seven weeks.
It was a long, long time. So obviously, you know, he will win. The interesting thing is on his leaflet. So I was down on the Wirral, you know, for social reasons. But because I'm wicked cool, I always try and collect leaflets from people's houses when I visit them. I don't think it counts as stealing. If someone has left a leaflet on the floor of their drive, it's okay to wander down it and take the leaflet, I think. So I was there and I collected a lot of literature. And one of the interesting things is, one, Steve Rotherham is fighting it as if it were a marginal. And he's also fighting it on what has kind of become the Labour mayoral candidate playbook. Here's who I am, in his case. So they've got one of those fake newspaper style ones. Steve Rotherham, one of us, which I'm sorry is the most Liverpool slogan ever. What I like about all of the mayoral candidates is I feel you can explain so much about their respective cities based on the leaflets. So Sadiq is like, who's number one? We're number one. I'm your king. You want a king? Yeah, baby. Andy Burnham's is London. We're just as good as London. I'll fight anyone who says I'm not as good as London. And then Steve Rotherham's is like, one of us, part of the community, etc., etc. All of that kind of thing. But he's fighting like a marginal, but he's also, every leaflet has the mayor covers Knowsley, Holton, etc.
No borough left behind.
Which I think is partly about getting the turnout and trying to create this idea of who it is. They obviously have a problem that, you know, they have two big funding problems coming down the track. one of which, of course, is care. They basically, you know, those authorities between them have done all of the things like, oh, we charge for the car park at the local beach now, et cetera, right? They've done all of that kind of easy dealing with cuts to your grant from the government. And the EU funding is also coming down the track as well.
But yeah, his no borough left behind shtick is actually gives you an indication of the only parts of the city region where the race will be interesting are Knowsley, where for the first time in years at the last locals, the Lib Dems won two councillors. And that speaks to a sort of broader disenchantment with one-party politics on Merseyside. The same in Southport, where Labour don't have a single councillor. And, that, you know, Rotherham has been in Southport and Knowsley quite a lot. But those are the areas where the Lib Dems hope to win, say, 20-25% of the vote. They think, you know, their candidate is some sort of 20-something councillor, but they say, let's have a go at this. But they're under no illusions that...
It's because if I was them, I would have run John Pugh. Not, cause I get why you don't want to have the by-election, but in terms of building and strengthening his personal vote, it feels like a win-win situation to me.
John Pugh is 60-something. Like, you know, as much as I love the man, he isn't box office. Although he is, by virtue of having been the MP for Southport for 16 years at this point, Mr. Southport. But he isn't a sort of...
He's very keen to be talked of more, which is why he's very keen to do any Lib Dem attack thing. He's just like, look, whatever you want to say, I'm happy for it to
say
be said
it,
under...
as long as you don't make me libel anyone.
So why is Rotherham fighting so hard? Because he could just not show up and he would still win.
I think, to be honest, it's just... That's the kind of guy Steve Rotherham is. Like, he's not obviously in... Oh God, I'm going to forget. Was he Riverside or Walton?
Walton.
Obviously in Liverpool, Walton, you know, short of the Labour candidate going around killing every single Labour voter, they would win. You know, it's like where I'm from in Hackney. But he's never sort of taken it for granted. And there are more marginals in that region than it currently looks. Wirral West is marginal. Wirral South is marginal.
Sefton Central
is marginal. Right, so there is like... It's a campaigning local party, yes, over the area. And there is also, and this gets us onto the other thing, the more votes he gets, the easier it becomes in his what will be a really fun subplot, which will be the fight between him and Joe Anderson, who also ran for the job, who most people expect to, was very much the choice of the Liverpool Labour establishment.
Isn't that the point? He was the Liverpool Labour establishment, whereas Steve Rotherham is much more popular in the outer.
I think...
And he also had the Corbyn factor, because he is, you know, Corbyn's PPS...
Yeah, you know. And he had a lot of support from a lot of MPs because he's widely agreed to be a lovely bloke. And so, you know, like lots of people came down and campaigned for him, et cetera, et cetera. But also, one of the interesting subplots, I think, in all of these mayoral selections is mostly what's happened is the revolt of the... I know outer is wrong geographically, but I think in a psychological sense, the revolt of the outer boroughs of these combined authorities against their centre, right? So why did Andy Burnham beat... Tony Lloyd. I always do this weird, like, Richard Wright, Tony Lees. It just becomes this nightmare. Because the rest of the boroughs of the Greater Manchester Mayor did not want the City of Manchester to get their mayor, right? That was basically what that was about. And there was something of that in play. Obviously, also, Joe had to make a lot of cuts and has made a lot of people fairly... made himself unpopular with some people. And also, of course, everyone would like to be the MP for Liverpool Walton. So there are multiple reasons why people voted for Steve over Joe, but he's still not happy about that, is my understanding. And obviously he will want Liverpool to come first. And so the two of them will have lots of jousting. So it's also partly about that.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So how is that relationship going to play out? Because when you've got someone who is the mayor of Liverpool and someone who is the mayor of the Liverpool City Region, both walking around with their own electoral mandates, and they come from slightly different positions within the Labour Party as well. I mean, how are they? That's going to be a fun relationship, right? I mean, how's that going
to
work?
There will almost immediately be calls for Liverpool to revert to a leader and cabinet model. I think is the sort of immediate sort of Liverpool City Hall criminology angle on this, because Joe Anderson isn't particularly well liked in the city. Like, you need to read any story in Liverpool Echo. Look at the Facebook comments; they're saying Joe. Obviously, this is quite an egregious misunderstanding of how planning law works, but it's Joe, why are you building more student flats when people are going hungry, sort of thing. And he is sort of associated, for better or worse, as Stephen says, with austerity and sort of, you know, at times sort of fairly cack-handed and self-aggrandising approach to local government. So it might just be expedient for certain people in the Liverpool Labour Party to kick Joe out of his
that
cushy
would be interesting
job.
No, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but Joe Anderson always feels to me like a sort of party boss character.
Yeah, he's a Mr. Fix-It, and you know, he's very good at that job.
Yeah, and he also, I always feel a bit guilty about going like he's a Mr. Fix-It, because you're like, oh, I'm saying, and this like fat northern man is the this. But he also enjoys that kind of thing. So remember that bit early on in the Corbyn time when people were trying to be nice about it. So they go, "It's been an interesting week." Yeah, and that would be their code. I was at this kind of fundraiser just after I got married. It was very soul destroying because it was my wife's name, and then like plus one. It's like, oh my god, it's already happened. And
she is better than you.
It's true.
I mean, she just is.
And it was also very soul-destroying because people kept asking me what I did. And it was just like, I'm Stephen Bush, I'm a big deal. I didn't actually say that because that would be mad. But he kind of was like, someone said it was interesting. I thought it was interesting. He thought it was interesting. And he has always enjoyed that kind of thing. But it annoys people and you make enemies. Like, it is why council leaders often don't get selected in parliamentary selections either, right? Because, you know, you've got to irritate people to be an effective council leader, right? This is not true of all council leaders who become MPs, but in the main, particularly when the Tories are in power and they, you know, their standard thing is always to devolve cuts on local authorities, in the main, the people who become council lead MPs as council leaders tend to leave chaos in their wake in their own local authorities, because the way they have parlayed that into the seat has been by being not very effective city leaders.
Can I tell you my favourite Joe Anderson thing before we move on to the other candidates?
Please,
we
should probably.
Someone in his office who I met at the Labour conference last year told me that one of his big ambitions was to, you know, the liver bird, the symbol of Liverpool that sit on the customs house and we're in the
liver building.
On the liver building, yes. And they're probably 6 feet high, those things. Apparently Joe Anderson wants to get one that's like 50 feet high and put it at the top of Everton Brow so it looks down over the city, terrifying children forevermore.
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason why sort of Joe Anderson is sort of widely sort of viewed with suspicion among the Liverpool public. It's because he is...
wants to put a terrifying giant bird.
He's into his grand projet, which is sort of like, you know, his big thing now is like, let's build a new stadium for Everton at Bramley Moor Dock, which is, you know, objectively a good idea in terms of regeneration. But I think a lot of people are saying, okay, why are you underwriting this project for hundreds of millions of pounds if you can't fund basic services? And obviously, the bottom line is, well, it's not his fault, it's their fault, the Tory government's. But
yeah, and I mean, I do think...
Try putting that on the back of Earth.
One of the interesting things before we move on to the other candidates, and is a bit of a side thing, is I think... I can't believe I'm about to say something nice about George Osborne, but one of the interesting differences between Cameron and May is Cameron and Osborne were, I think, interested in devolution in of itself, right? it wasn't just where is it electorally useful for us. And actually, in terms of the dock, they've got some posh hotel chain that I can't remember the name of in one of the warehouses. They've got another one that they're trying to regenerate. Actually, that would be a brilliant location for Channel 4 if you're going to move a large chunk of it outside of London. And yeah, that would be a great place for it to be, and it would be great. Where are they going to put it? The West Midlands, because they can win there. And that is solely the prism through which Theresa May sees all of this city devolution stuff. So I still think it's going to be interesting to see how much of that city agenda really survives in terms of what they can actually do, because she just doesn't seem as interested in like devolution as an instrument of social change.
And the financial settlement for Liverpool City Region isn't that handsome as it is.
Yeah.
So Rotherham will be limited in that respect to what he can do. I think the most effective thing he can do is, you know, him and Burnham will have that sort of, you know, dynamic, young-ish sort of we're not Tories sort of, they will become the de facto figureheads of the resistance.
Yeah, I mean, it's always felt to me like one of the big things British mayors can do, because they are quite constrained in their powers and funding, is to kind of bang the drum for their city. And just the bully pulpit thing, like London's...
Yeah, like Livingston, the GLC, yeah, stuff
And that, yeah. Sadiq has been very good at being the London is open guy, and I can imagine Burnham and Rotherham doing that for the North West.
Yeah, and Joe has, you know, gone to China an awful lot, and, you know, that will continue.
So, who else is in the race?
So, Carl Cashman is going to come second, most likely. I would put...
He's
dozens of pounds on that.
He's the Lib Dem.
Lib Dem, yeah. He is he's represent Prescott in Knowsley. And then this is an indication of how badly the Tories think they're going to do. They're effectively running a paper candidate who ran in 2012 and 2016 against Joe Anderson in Liverpool and came, off the top of my head, I think fifth both times, called Tony Caldera. He's a cushion magnate.
People need cushions.
Well, yeah. I mean,
particularly in these hard days of Tory austerity, you need
all the cushioning.
I don't think he can really run on that platform.
No, that would be.
Well, you know, people where I live in Southport love this sort of Gigi cushion scene. So
it is strange, because I mean, again, if I were, a conservative tactician, there are three seats that you would look at in the next election and think we can, four actually, you can think we could make something happen here. Sefton Central, the Wirral seats, and Southport. So run someone who you're going to run in one of those seats and just go, we are just going to try and win the election in whatever this seat is, right?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things they did very well as a party from about 2002 onwards, is just having people running in seats and they wanted to win.
I'm sorry, it just occurred to me halfway through that explanation that what the Tories did in London in 2016 was the exact opposite of that, when they ran a candidate who then proceeded to lose his seat when he really didn't have to. God, I love that.
It's like, the sort of confirmation bias thing, though, isn't it? I think they see... The local Tory organisation there has seen Liverpool and have sort of done the arithmetic in their head and think, we're not going to win this. Why blow our load running Esther McVeigh, for instance? But really, that makes sense. If you're Esther McVeigh and you want to get back into Parliament, why would you not want to try and come a strong second in that contest?
Yeah, keep your name in the papers, yeah, exactly. Make sure. We're talking a lot about the horse race. What I don't have any sense of is, do any of these people have policies? What are they offering Liverpool? What does Liverpool
Rotherham
need from
is
them?
Big into apprenticeships and training. The Lib Dem platform is essentially sort of two fingers up at the whole model. They want a regional assembly for Merseyside for proper scrutiny of the mayor, because they just think it's sort of a Joe Anderson Mark II. Joe Anderson obviously presides over a council where there are four or five at the very maximum councillors who aren't Labour. So, I mean, their argument is... nobody cares about this. Nobody knows about this, especially in the outer boroughs. And, you know, if you don't like it, neither do we. Vote for us and we'll give it some proper scrutiny, sort of thing. The Greens, who knows? And UKIP haven't even selected a candidate, so...
UKIP don't even have a candidate?
No, I mean, it's not...
I think they'd have Paul Nuttall to reuse this joke about him being a Tranmere footballer and... I'm sorry, I just think it's so hackneyed now that I can't even finish my Paul Nuttall joke.
The bad bootle UKIP meth, Paul Nuttall.
But at least when he says, I'm from here, I live here, he wouldn't be lying. I mean, at least he is actually from Merseyside.
Yeah.
Something, you know. Is that why he's not running? Right. It just goes against the grain, to be honest, about something.
Yeah, well, and also that he'd probably be run out of town to rail if he tried to campaign in public.
I mean, that would be fun, though.
Yeah, it would.
Be, I mean, more for us.
He literally
than for
would
him.
Never walk alone.
Okay, we should be wrapping this up, but I'm going to... Rotherham's going to win.
Yep.
How much is he going to win by? Give me some numbers.
He'll win. There won't be a second. Is this done by supplementary vote, right?
Yeah.
So he'll win. There won't be a second round.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But like, are we talking 52%? Are we talking?
I think he'll
60?
Win by 20 points. I think the Lib Dems will probably get that 25% that they vote they want. Partly because the thing that I think is massively being underwritten in politics in general, but particularly in all of these city region elections, is that diehard Remain electorate, which is looking towards the Lib Dems, votes all the time, right? You know, the people who get very angry on Twitter and go, look, I don't care what the people have done, I just want you to reverse it.
Stop subtweeting me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but you vote every election, right? You know, like, yeah. You are significantly more powerful in a council or local or by election than you are in a general election, and I think it is incompletely plausible that you will have a situation, particularly if, as I think is likely, Brexit does not go that well, where you have a pro-leave parliament, but every lower order election, the Remainers win by quite big margins.
And it's, you know, the Lib Dems controlled Liverpool City Council till not that long ago, and they have a sort of vice-like grip on politics in Southport, one of the very few places that they do. So it's not that big an ask for them to put in a very strong showing here.
So do you think it's plausible, if this, assuming this post continues to exist, could there come a point in 4, 8, 12 years' time where the Lib Dems are genuinely competitive?
I mean, I think...
Just because eventually one party
I doubt it.
I think the problem is they'd need Labour to get back in power first.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's not going to happen, is it? Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, you know, this is not the only factor with the SNP, but in any area where only someone can win, you'll get the rise of something like Tower Hamlets First in my patch, or, yeah, or Save Kidderminster Hospital, or
the Southport Party.
The Southport Party, or whatever that Dorset independent who actually ran one of them very close in the 2015 election, right? You get these local parties which basically express the fact that the local area is not well run. Or in Southend, where it was this hung parliament dominated by independents in resistance to the Tory party.
In a lot of Tory suburbs, it ends up being the Residents Association,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Who are on the council. Yeah,
they're effectively just Tories in terms of policy, but they're outside the party mechanism.
Yeah, and that will happen in these mayoral elections in the next 10, 15 years. My expectation is one of Manchester, Liverpool, whatever the Avon one is called.
West of England.
Which
is another stupid name.
Terrible misnomer. Yeah. It's tiny.
It is. It's like the West of England. There's much more...
Because you think West of England, you think it's not going from Bristol to the Isles of Scilly, but it's not.
Yeah. It is just a greater Bristol mayor, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, but they can never... For the same reason it ended up as Merseyside rather than Greater Liverpool, it's because places didn't want to be considered part of Greater Liverpool.
But it's like, you know, like you said before, like, you know, in the selection, there was a big factor of, you know, you get Burnham, you get Rotherham because you don't want a mayor who is of that city. And this will be the case, especially for the outer boroughs. I think not in this contest, but say if there ever comes to be any great degree of public awareness about these positions, then the vote will naturally fragment, because I think people in Southport and Holton will think, why have we got a Scouser as our mayor? We aren't Scouse. It's essentially the bottom line here.
And I think, because the interesting thing that's happened with all of the devolved, so in the 2016 devolved elections, they all had the highest turnout than they'd ever had. Why? Because they'd been around for whatever many years it is, 16 years, right? So as these things govern, people become more aware of them. The fascinating hypothetical is, in 2008, Ken Livingstone lost to Boris Johnson largely because Labour were unpopular nationally. Obviously, Ken since then has made himself quite unpopular, but I find it fascinating to imagine what would happen if you had a similar situation of popular London mayor, unpopular Labour Party. Oh, I realise Sadiq Khan may well provide us with this proof in 2020. But my instinct is that might go better for Sadiq Khan than it did for Ken Livingstone in 2008.
You don't think Sadiq Khan's going to start talking about Hitler all the time?
Who knows? So far, he's the only person to be mayor of London who hasn't talked about Hitler a great deal. So I'm just saying, clearly there's a structural issue here.
We'll see you next time.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.